The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
130 million euro to be spent this weekend on the so-called Black Friday weekend, this great new tradition, which is a couple of years old. I wonder, if it hadn't been Black Friday, how much money would have been spent this weekend? Would it have been 130 million? Anyway, Louise Duffy, how much have you spent on Black Friday?
No, I'm not too bad so far.
Have you been suckered in? Have you started spending loads of money simply because of all the hype?
It's not simply because all of the hype. It's because Christmas is around the corner and you have to get your Christmas presents organised. And there are two schools of thought on it. You can get wrapped up in the discounts. Like this morning, I had 46 emails about 20% off here, 40% off there. And there comes with a little bit of pressure with that because you're worried that this is going to stop and then you'll have to pay full price for your presents. But I think if you're going to be buying your Christmas presents and there are discounts available, it's a good time to do it.
Are they genuine discounts?
They are. In a lot of cases, they are. I mean, I know that sales are around the corner as well, but a lot of sites are doing the universal 20% off everything, new stock, old stock, whatever it may be. So I think it's a good thing to utilise it if you're just going to get organised for Christmas. But when it comes to fisticuffs in appliance shops and like you see
you
that happen.
Have you?
I haven't, not me personally. No, I'm more of an online shopper. I think if you're going to do it in the comfort of your couch and you're going to do your online shopping, grand, do it that way. But you see people queuing and you see them getting physical and violent over 10% off a widescreen TV. That's nuts. And that's happening.
Ro McDermott, how much have you spent on Black Friday?
I've been pretty good. I've been steadfastly avoiding it because I think it's also strange that we've co-opted this very American holiday, like this post-Thanksgiving thing, even though nobody in this country cares about Thanksgiving. So it does feel very cynical to me. And I'm also not that organised. So I am looking forward to my rush the 2 days before Christmas when everybody gets some last minute presents. But I also think that tradition that has again started in America of filming all these appliance stores and kind of accounting for the rush and accounting, you know, and filming those fights and stuff. I think that makes me very uncomfortable because I think there's a very classist element to that where they put these huge luxury items on sale. So people who normally couldn't afford them are really excited and go in and queue up. And then they film it and put those videos up online.
That's an old Irish tradition from before the days of the internet for Stephen's Day sales that used to happen. And the television, and people would be queuing out for days beforehand so they could get the £1.5 television that might be available.
Yeah, I think the Black Friday thing, because it is an American holiday, I think most of the videos I've seen, particularly in the last few years, they've gone viral, have been kind of people of colour, of working class people who really can't afford these during the year, go up, get really excited, and then the shops deliberately like only have one entrance open so that people stream in and it gets very violent again. It's very rowdy. It just becomes a mess. And then they film it and put them out kind of to promote their own store, but also to look down on the people who are taking advantage of the sales. And that makes me quite uncomfortable.
Ian Power, how much have you spent?
I've been good today so far, but that's because I haven't had a chance to, so maybe later. I did also wake up to the barrage of emails from all the different brands this morning. I kind of like it in the sense that it's a reminder and you should probably get on the whole Christmas thing, because I'm definitely in the row school of 2 days before Christmas, and it is very stressful, and every year I say I'm not going to do it again next year and I do, so I actually kind of welcome the reminder. In terms of the videos, I saw a brilliant satirical video this morning of somebody entering, you know, an appliance store opening at 9 a.m. or whatever. There was just one solitary guy who was waiting at the door and walked in casually and as if there was no bother on him at all. So yeah, I mean, it has certainly been weird that we have adopted this so wholesale, but I would hope that most people are sensible enough.
Yeah, but the idea I think behind it is that retailers felt they were losing out to, God help us, Cyber Monday, right? Which is the date, the last day apparently for buying all your things that you want delivered by post before Christmas. So this was the way of getting in it. Except all the internet retailers are now on top of it. And everyone's at it. Some of the emails I got today is things like hotel rooms for sale in January or flights. Mm-hmm. And yet some people are pointing out that, I mean, who really manages to keep an eye on it? Because look for a flight to Amsterdam last month, Ryanair 40 euro, Black Friday 74 euro with Aer Lingus, 55 euro with Ryanair. Some sales are not sales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some places, especially online, online as well, they will jack up the prices a couple of months before like Black Friday.
They do,
and
that,
then
yeah.
they will cut them on Black yeah. Friday and pretend like they've been you know, at that price the whole time.
Yeah.
So there is a bit of dodginess going on.
I think
too.
If you can use it for your own benefit and you're going to be buying something anyway before Christmas and you see 20% off, do it then. But if don't get carried away in the...
But Louise, why not just wait till the sales after Christmas when you might get 50% off?
What would happen on Christmas Day when the boxes are empty?
Hand over a voucher in them and say you can go and get lovely stuff for yourself tomorrow in
oh,
the
yeah.
sales.
Oh yeah, why don't you just postpone Christmas dinner until January 8th as well, because turkeys
will
be on sale.
That's missing the
Matt.
Point entirely, Rob. And for some reason my family continuously misses this point as well and forces me into the tradition of Christmas gift giving instead
awful.
Of saying wait until a couple of days later.
Humbug. Come on.
Okay. Yeah, but talk about Amazon workers. Rob, there's a story in Europe of 500 Amazon workers have chosen today to go on strike.
Yeah, so more than 500 Amazon employees in Europe are going to go on strike today on Black Friday. So they're looking for higher pay from the retailer, according to trade unions. But I think a lot of people are focusing on that they want higher pay. But I think this is more to do with Amazon's general attitude towards their workers, because particularly on Black Friday, there's like this huge pressure on Amazon to deliver all these extra items that people are buying, but which means that the workers themselves have to put in extra hours. It's a lot more high pressure. And people are actually saying that to work in Amazon, you're not getting paid for this extra work, but also the general atmosphere is one of a lot of high pressure stress that isn't being accounted for. So people in the Uni Global, so Uni Network, International Global Union in general, so they're saying that workers at Amazon are suffering from physical and mental exhaustion with a combination of constant performance monitoring, exacting management practice, insufficient recovery time and relentless pressure. Amazon is an unhealthy place to work.
For as long as people have jobs, Irene, because I would suspect in the future it's all going to be robots doing the work in all those warehouses.
Well, yeah, we've seen all the drones and things that Amazon are employing to start delivering things, and we talked before about how they're going to put them inside your house when you're not even home, so it is moving that way. But I think until that point, I mean, you know, workers, the only thing that they have as a bargaining chip is their labour, and you see it with strikes generally, that any time that you want to try and make your employer sit up and take notice is during the times that they have peak traffic or they're busiest, and this is obviously the time for those Amazon workers. And I think it's only fair, I mean, not to get too socialist on you on a Friday afternoon, but I think it's only fair that, you know, organisations and companies like Amazon, who make huge profits, would only share those with the people who are helping them making them.
Okay, but again, I mean, I suppose radio stations, television stations, newspapers are all delighted with the amount of advertising that has been done for this Black Friday. It's another form of income. But is it too much just a month before Christmas? I mean, is it maybe extending Christmas over too long a period?
Well, that's happening. I mean, Christmas decorations are up now mid-October, so it's happening. And I think, like, I enjoy it, I have to say. I don't mind it. I look forward to it. But yeah.
The shopping or Christmas?
The Christmas and the spirit of it all. But I just think people can get carried away. And, you know, people throw themselves into huge debt. And there is a lot of pressure. There is a lot of pressure coming through your radio and your TV and all these emails that come in. So it's just about everyone being responsible for themselves and just being realistic about what you can afford and what you can spend and what you need.
Okay, let's move on and let's go to a tweet for which he has subsequently apologised by a chap called Lord Kilclooney, no relation to George Clooney. Lord Kilclooney, I would know him better as John Taylor when he used to be a member of Parliament for the Ulster Unionist Party. So John Taylor, as I'll call him for now, tell us about the tweet he said about the political situation in Northern Ireland and the reference he made to Leo Varadkar.
Yeah, so this former Ulster Unionist deputy leader, he tweeted that Simon Coveney is stirring things up, very dangerous, non-statesman-like role, clearly hoping to undermine the Indian. And the Indian, of course, being a reference to the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. Now, there was a huge backlash to this, and he did issue several apologies that kind of changed his own story. He said initially that, you know, in Twitter one is restricted to a limited number of words, and so for shorthand I used the term Indian for the new PM in Dublin and apologised for that. But then he also said he wasn't sure of the spelling of Varadkar. I'm sorry, if you are on Twitter you have an internet connection so you can check. Also, the phrase the Indian literally takes up more characters than Varadkar. He was nowhere near approaching the new 240 character limit. So basically, he's lying about his apology. And I think what's really distressing to me, I mean, obviously, it's such a horrible othering statement that obviously came to him naturally if he's comfortable using it on Twitter in the first place, that he is defining Leo Varadkar by his parents' heritage and by the colour of his skin. But also, I think the statement, "I'm not racist," is something we're seeing a lot of. And I think it's really interesting and really damaging, because I think we're almost more scared of being called a racist than that we might have said something racist. And I think, like, I was lucky enough to live in San Francisco and study in San Francisco, which is kind of at the forefront of a lot of social discourse around race and sexuality and social justice. The people who are really open-minded and are very aware of race and able to talk about it are the ones who say, of course I have racial prejudice and bias. How could I not? Look at the media we all consume. Like, this seeps into everybody. And by saying, yes, of course I have racial prejudice, I'm working on it, you're kind of taking account for the messages you receive and taking the responsibility to work on it. Whereas saying, "I'm not a racist," kind of just shuts yourself off from it.
Earlier this week, Louise, he also seemed to be trying to reclaim Donegal for Northern Ireland.
He did, yeah. I mean, he just seems to get himself in hot water quite a bit. He had that to say. He said, he proclaimed that Donegal would be much better off in the UK, and he spoke on radio stations about that as well. It's just people like that, you're worried about their access to Twitter and the way they promote their views. He also, there was another person who tweeted him after the comment on Varadkar and said, "We don't have a PM in Dublin or in Ireland, we have a Taoiseach, which means chieftain, which will probably only add to your confusion." And he said, "Yes, it does. When I think of chieftain, I think of Red Indians." And this man is at it all the time, and it's crazy.
Okay, but Ian, maybe the old phrase, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, because he did suffer himself. He nearly died when he was shot 5 times by the IRA in the 1970s.
Yeah, he did. He was targeted in 1972. Yeah, I mean, I think it's true to a point. Yes, we can all be resilient and deal with what people say to us, but at a certain stage you start to get broken down by the numbers of things people say. This guy seems to have a bit of a platform. He seems to have a bit of a track record as well in terms of the types of comments that he makes. And, you know, for a long time, I think we've decided, okay, look, it's probably just better to ignore these types of people. But I think now we really are in a kind of a sea change where we have to take these people on, and we have to try to create a culture where this is just not acceptable at all. And that there has to be kind of repercussions for it. And it seems, yeah, just like Ro was saying, like, he seems to be, you know, kind of very, very upset that he's been called a racist without any sort of kind of acknowledgement or understanding that actually he is.
Listener says, in relation to Black Friday, "I bought a freezer from a well-known online store in September, paid €389. It was damaged on delivery, so they refunded as no more left in stock. Now on the same site, that freezer is available in the Black Friday sale for €449. Know your prices."
Exactly.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay. You need to do a bit of research, though, if you're online, if you shop online.
I bet you know the price of everything that you're likely to buy.
Why would you say that, Matt?
But that's the thing, if you pick out what you want in advance, yeah, then you're avoiding getting sucked in, and you'll know what an actual sale is.
Yes.
Another listener says, "Should also be renamed, sounds like the Black Death Plague of 1346. Let's continue this thing about Cyrus Christie. Ian, will you take this one up? Or Cyprus Christie, excuse me, the fullback on the Irish team that got hammered by Denmark, received dreadful abuse afterwards.
Yeah, he did, and he has made a formal statement to Gardaí about the racist abuse that he has suffered online, and he has taken copies of the messages that he was sent and given them to the guards. Some of the messages, which can't really necessarily be repeated, you know, referred to the player as using the N-word, and others said that he should play for Jamaica, and all of these other hideous statements, and a lot of them have since been deleted. A lot of them as well don't necessarily, you know, they're not examples of high intellect as well. Like, a lot of the jibes are very kind of juvenile and very immature.
Yeah, but do we actually have a possibility that we love just slapping ourselves on the back and saying we're not racist because we love Phil Lynott, we love Paul McGrath when he was playing for Ireland and the rest of it and stuff. But actually, when you scratch the surface, and even this week we had Ibrahim Halawa here on the programme, and the vast majority of people getting in touch, very sympathetic to what had happened to him in Egypt. How is he? Delighted to hear he's doing well. But yet again, an enormous amount of people sort of given out saying he's not Irish. He was born in the Coombe. He's lived his entire life in Ireland, except for the 4 years he was wrongly imprisoned in Egypt. And there are people saying, send him back there.
Well, this week, we also saw that beautiful 16-year-old girl, Joella, whose parents are South African and she lives in Louth. And she released a statement and did a little video explaining the racist abuse she gets. And she gets the N-word. She's called Gorilla. People saying, go back to your own country. And I think Irish people, we do have this idea of ourselves that we're not racist, which comes from our attitudes not being challenged. And then I think we also fall back on this idea of like, oh, sure, didn't we experience racism in America, and try and make Britain. A comparison. But there is, I mean, two things can exist simultaneously, that the Irish were oppressed and it was also nothing like the racism that black people in America have historically faced. And so I think that idea of ourselves of, oh, we're lovely, we're good cracker, we're welcoming to all, it really isn't reflective of reality. We need to face that.
But I think we're only lovely and welcoming to all as well when people who come to Ireland or people who have lived here and are of different cultures conform to our own culture as
Absolutely.
Well. That's the only time we seem to pat ourselves on the back for being inclusive of diversity. Because, you know, if Christy scored the winning goal of the Denmark game, there wouldn't have been this abuse. Mm-hmm. You know, the abuse around Ibrahim Halawa is because he was arrested, and you know, there's a massive conspiracy theory and everybody thinks that he was up to things that he wasn't, and nobody's willing to give him a chance. If he had been over there, you know, brokering a peace deal between the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, things might be different.
It's funny actually, here on the WhatsApp at 0874100102, one listener says, this is neoliberal safe space hour, more diverse range of guests please, you're killing the show. But 3 days ago the same person sent in, turning off disgrace in interviewing Muslim Brotherhood scum.
Oh, wow.
Right.
I'm surprised.
As it happens, Ibrahim Halawa said in relation to the Muslim Brotherhood that their killing of people was wrong, and he condemned it, and he described people who killed as idiots.
Sorry, if that person who texted in, if we had a Muslim person and a person of colour on, would that fit their ideas of diverse, or do they just mean not with our attitudes? I mean, diverse in that context means I want more people who sound like me.
Okay, but let's talk about something else, diversity, Louise, and this is something entirely different. The call for Sleeping Beauty to be banned from primary school curriculum, and I don't think this is in Ireland, this is in England, because apparently Sleeping Beauty teaches inappropriate behaviour.
I find this thoroughly ridiculous. This mother has called for Sleeping Beauty to be removed from the primary school that her son attends because it teaches an inappropriate sexual message. So according to her, and you know, if you really want to be very black and white about it, what fairy tale is a good message for feminism, or for you don't want to raise your children according to those messages? But she sees Sleeping Beauty teaches children that it's okay to kiss a woman while she's asleep, and there's an issue of consent.
Maybe she has a point.
I just think, okay, we don't think the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are running around under our footpaths either. There has to be an element of fantasy and fairy tale that you allow, that you indulge your children with, and then you can also teach them other ways in which to act as responsible adults.
Rolf. The difference is that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are coded as male and they got to go off and have adventures, whereas Sleeping Beauty is a woman and she gets to be unconscious and have a man save her by kissing her while she's unconscious. I think this is totally fine. I will also say the woman said, I don't think you should take it out of this circulation completely, and I actually think it'd be a great resource for older children. You could have a conversation around it, which I think is actually a great point. Like, you don't have to remove these from culture, but you use them in a way to have conversations. And I think, you know, even other stories we're going to be talking about later, we are very concerned with the sexualization of young children. We've been having all these conversations about the Me Too movement and how sexual harassment affects people, but then parents are kind of loath to bring those conversations into their own home, to talk about consent, to talk about, you know, the influence of pornography, to accept the realities of these. And actually this week the Girl Scouts of America released a statement saying, you know, it's Thanksgiving, you're going to have relatives over to the house, please don't force young women to like be kissed and be hugged by relatives or to sit on their lap if they're uncomfortable, and teach them how to say, actually I don't feel like being hugged, thank you very much. And I think that's brilliant, because you have to start having these conversations with kids young, or else they do absorb damaging messages. And I think particularly for young men, it's really important for them to learn that young women have boundaries, that people have boundaries, and they have to respect that. So I think using it as a conversation piece is a brilliant idea.
Okay, now I don't want to sound glib, but Ian, strikes me that Shrek might have to fall off the viewing list as well as a result of this. But what do you think of it?
Yeah, potentially. Look, I think we shouldn't ban things. I, th- everything from curriculums. I think that that's not necessarily a good idea. I think what would be really useful is to use this as a really good example of how, of where consent exists and doesn't exist. Use it as a resource. Use it to have the conversation and to put it in context. We were talking about it earlier during the break about TV shows that we didn't realise were, you know, a particular way. And it's only with perspective and hindsight and learning and growth that you can kind of see actually what is meant to be right and what is wrong. And I think using it maybe in that context and trying to educate children about what is right and what's wrong. I think there is kind of obviously a nostalgia associated with Sleeping Beauty and all the Disney classics, and obviously parents will listening and people who grew up with them will probably be like,
yeah, this Rapunzel is under threat from another
this
listener.
Is ridiculous. Oh, yeah. But yeah, but you see, the thing about it is that, you know, we are not wedded to these things. We can create new stories that tell better stories and that are more responsible and appropriate, and there are loads of them out there, and there's loads of really good storybooks for children that are not messages.
Fairy tales have already been sanitized hugely. If you look at the original fairy tales, like, they were mad into people getting their eyes pecked out. Like, the ugly sisters in Cinderella had their eyes pecked out. Rapunzel and Sleeping Beauty were both impregnated, by the way. That was cut out of the Disney films. We've already updated fairy tales to reflect views of modern day culture. We can do it again. It's actually quite simple.
Disney love introducing LGBT characters into their storylines, whether or not they're acceptable in terms of the way that they've projected and portrayed them is another thing. But, you know, things are moving along.
And
so.
Then, look, John Lasseter this week, the genius behind Toy Story, he's the latest one to be caught up in the sexual abuse allegations standing back from Pixar. Where's it all going to end? We're not getting into that discussion. We're out of time, unfortunately. Rowan McDermott, Louise Duffy, Ian Parr, thank you all very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.